well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. I am so glad you're with me today. Also glad we've got Mark Walters from Armed American Radio joining us here in a moment or two. We're going to be talking about what is going on, maybe what's not going on in Florida. The shooting at Florida State last week, being used as an excuse to not move forward with repealing the state's ban on adults under the age of 21 being able to purchase firearms at retail, a law that has been challenged. The 11th Circuit Court of Appeals recently upheld that Florida law. The NRA, which is challenging the law, which has been on the books for almost 7 years now, a little bit more than seven years, is taking that appeal up to the Supreme Court. And remember, the Supreme Court just yesterday allowed an 8th Circuit Court of decision or 8th Circuit Court of Appeals decision that went the opposite way, ruled that 18, 19, and 20-year-olds do have the ability to carry a concealed firearm under the Second Amendment. Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison had appealed to the Supreme Court asking them to overturn that 8th Circuit decision. The Supreme Court declined to take that case. We'll see what, if anything, they do with the Florida case. But, you know, the prospects of that law being or that lawsuit being mooted by legislative action now appear to be zero, essentially, because one of the key Senate leaders is putting the kibosh on repealing that Parkland gun control bill that, again, prevents adults who are 20, 19, and 18, in many cases, prevents them from exercising their Second Amendment rights entirely. Because unless you know somebody who is willing to gift you a gun, you are technically not allowed to purchase one. And if you can't purchase one, it makes it really difficult to possess one, right? So Mark Walters, you know, used to live in Florida, knows the state very well. And I thought that he would have a, I thought he'd have some thoughts on what's going on down there in the Gunshine State. And sure enough, he does. Plenty of them. Take a look and a listen. Well, it's not Mondays with Mark. Tuesdays with Mark. Just as good. Maybe even a little bit better. 2A Tuesday with Mark Walters from Armed American Radio. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good.
Right in mid-sip. Sorry about that.
That's okay. So I'm doing great, brother. I don't. Every time I start my show, I say, don't take a sip when the music's playing. Take it when the cameras go on.
And I never worked as a waiter, so I can't even attribute that to that, you know, that special skill they have. As soon as you take a bite, they come over. And how's everything going?
I never did that either, believe it or not.
All right, so there's a lot to talk about, but we could talk about the Supreme Court once again, not acting on Snopes, not acting on Ocean State Tactical, rejecting two cases yesterday, right, including the request by Keith Ellison to overturn this 8th Circuit decision that allows 18 to 20-year-olds to get concealed carry licenses. I think that's one area where the Supreme Court's inaction will benefit gun owners. But I want to talk about a different kind of inaction here, Mark. You know, we saw the shooting at Florida State last week, and now we're learning that former Senate President, still State Senator Kathleen Passidomo, is not going to allow a bill that would repeal one of these post-Parkland gun control laws, the bill that or the law that forbids adults under the age of 21 from purchasing a firearm at retail. There's legislation that would undo that. And Kathleen Passidomo, who was a real thorn in the side of Second Amendment advocates when she was Senate president, she was one who did not want to see permitless carry become law in Florida. Now she's putting the brakes on repealing this particular gun control law. And I got to tell you, Mark, I mean, I think there are a lot of gun owners in Florida who are rightfully angry. Why do we keep electing Republicans if they're going to act like anti-gun Democrats?
You know, Cam, I lived in Florida for many years. This goes way back. I didn't leave Florida until 2005 to move to Georgia. And at the time I did, Florida was far ahead of Georgia as far as gun laws are concerned. In fact, when I got up here, Florida was still known as the Gunshine State, right?
Mm-hmm.
Georgia blew past that with efforts from Georgia Kerry. And I made comments years down the road that Florida was going to take years to recover from that. And I'm going to stand by that because of what you're talking about right here. And I can go back to the Florida president or the Florida Senate president. You go back to pre-05. What was his name? De La Portilla. Playing the same games. Florida has a long history of Republicans snubbing the Second Amendment. I have not been able to put my finger on that. other than they're scared of tourism and media coverage should something happen. That might be it. I don't have an answer to that, but this is a long history in the state of Florida. Now, let's talk parkland, Bill. Ryan Petty, good friend of mine, good friend of yours, sat on that commission, was a part of that commission that concocted that bill. And he readily admits today that a couple of those issues being red flags and the 18 to 20 year olds were a mistake. You have to go back to 2018, understand the politics involved. The reason that bill passed the way it did was so that we could get armed guardians in Florida. We know all that mess. Governor DeSantis himself has said he wants to repeal both aspects of those both of those aspects of the parkland bill. He has said that himself. The bill is already moving, and now it's being stopped yet again. Now, I ask you and I ask our viewers and listeners, what part of the parkland bill stopped FSU?
Right. No.
The kid was 20 years old. He wasn't allowed to have a gun to begin with under current Florida law. He stole his mother's, stepmother's gun. Of course, she was a sitting, she is an on-duty deputy. It was a handgun that would have been exempt from any assault weapon ban, whatever, because law enforcement is exempt if there were magazines. The whole thing is a mess right out of the box. And then you have Ileana, and forgive me for not knowing her last name, I talked about this on my show, who voted against campus carry a couple months ago and is now out doubling down as a Republican in Florida, saying she has no regrets on allowing armed or not allowing armed citizens, 18 to 20 year olds on campus. The whole thing is a mess in Florida, and it's really difficult to put your finger on that button and know what's going through the minds of Republicans there. Who are they afraid of? And you and I've talked about this before. I'm telling you, man, in politics, as you well know, it comes down to the money. I don't know who's feeding the trough here. I have no earthly idea. But Florida is a mess right now, a mess.
Yeah, it is. And you're right. I mean, the arguments that they are using to justify their inaction or their votes against things like campus carry, they don't make any sort of logical sense. So, you know, unless these people are absolute morons, and I'm always willing to entertain that possibility, you're right. There's got to be something else going on, right? There's something deeper that is causing them to say, hey, you know what? Yeah, we realize that we just saw, for example, the futility of these gun-free zones because this 20-year-old, as you say, stole his mother's pistol, went onto a campus knowing that there would be, you know, very little likelihood of an armed response from a bystander. And in fact, may have even been encouraged to carry out this attack at Florida State because they knew that there was not likely to be an armed professor or an armed staffer or an armed student or an armed visitor on campus. They were going to be the only ones with a gun until police showed up, right? So, I mean, that alone, to me, shows the vacuousness of a campus carry law that says, no, you cannot carry here. This is a sensitive place. Well, go tell the mass murderer that this is a sensitive place where guns aren't allowed. See what the response is, right? And then, as you say, this 18 to 20 law, again, somebody who is committed to carrying out an attack like this, they're going to find a way, right?
Of course.
They're going to steal a gun. They're going to buy a gun from a family or friend. They're going to get on the black market. They're going to use their car, and they're going to run down as many people as they possibly can, right? Maybe they won't even use a firearm. But somebody who's intent on killing as many people as possible will find a way to carry out that attack. And if this guy was, let's say, 35 instead of 20, would we be having this conversation about, well, maybe we need to bar, you know, people under the age of 40 from owning a gun?
Yeah, you bring up a great point. Where, at what level does this end, right? It's like putting two mirrors at each other and looking at it. And it looks like an endless infinity deal. We're never going to, I don't know the answer to the questions that you're asking. I wish I did. I don't. If I did, I'd write a book about it. Probably not be sitting here with you. I'd probably be doing a book tour. But I don't have the answers to that. All I can tell you is you're right. There's something going on. Look, Georgia has campus carry. This is a Kennesaw State dad mug I'm drinking out of. As we're sitting here right now, my son just got in the car to go to campus for classes today. Okay. He's in his second year. He'll be 21 in September. He can't wait to be 21 because he can carry a gun on campus at Kennesaw State. Florida need only look at the success at its northern neighbor right at the top of its northern border. And for some reason, they don't see what's happening elsewhere. And again, I wish I had the answers. It's very frustrating to see what's happening in Florida when I knew Florida so well myself as the Gunshine State as a resident for so many years and to watch what's occurring there. They're just, we all got happy when permitless carry passed, but it's not constitutional carry in its purest form because you can't openly carry a firearm.
Right.
There's a lot of work that needs to be done in Florida. And I guarantee you, again, it's just a personal opinion. I could be way wrong here. But you follow this, you'll get your answers. I just don't know where to go to get it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. And I mean, listen, and I called out Kathleen Pasadomo specifically, but the current Senate president, Ben Albritton, even before the shooting at Florida State, was uncommitted to bringing that bill forward, the repeal of the under 21 gun purchase ban. So it's not just Pasadomo, right? I mean, it is. I think it's fair to say Republican leadership in the Senate. And I'm going to call out the Senate specifically because these bills are passing the House.
Yeah,
and they're passing the House by wide margins, right? So the Speaker's letting these bills go to the floor. Republicans are voting for these things, and then they move over to the Senate, and that's where the roadblock, that's where they hit that barrier, and these bills go no further.
It's been the roadblock in Florida for decades. This is not new. Again, I recall this going back to De La Portilla down in, and it's always been those southeastern Florida Republicans down there that have been causing a problem. Senate pro tem for years and years and years in the state of Florida. Interestingly, you had Giffords tweet out, as I'm sure you're aware, within 2 hours before there was a press conference. Now, this was all breaking. This story was breaking while I was live on Armed American Radio. So we were getting a lot of updates coming at us in real time. As I was talking with Parkland dad, Ryan Petty, about this issue as it was literally, truly unfolding. And you had the Giffords organization tweeting out what Florida doesn't have. Universal background checks, assault weapons bans, you know, before there was a press conference, we didn't know who the shooter was. We didn't know how many victims were. The reports were pouring in from a couple of news outlets that we were talking about, that there were 5 dead, that there were 6 wounded, that there were 2 shooters. They didn't know a thing. Mm-hmm. And they're out there putting out this brutal nonsense. But what it does, it all comes down to this. These people are putting a political agenda above the safety and security of their constituents, period. And when you look back over time at what's occurred over a 20-year period, you can see that's the truth. And the Giffords organization and the Bradys and all those, they're ready to just pile on. We were referring to it as coffin surfing before we even knew how many coffins there were, Cam. It's disgusting and it's despicable.
But it's a part of the gun control playbook, right? I mean, as you well know, what was it, 2012, the so preventing gun violence through effective messaging, right? That's the anti-gunners playbook, and they're still sticking to it. And there's a whole section in there about, you know, when there's a, I think they call it a high profile shooting incident, the advice, the mandate is don't wait for the facts to be known. Get out there right away and start talking about these things. So, you know, it didn't matter to Giffords that they didn't know what type of gun was used, where that gun was acquired, anything at all about the suspect, right? And as you say, I mean, there you go, before it doesn't have an assault weapons ban. Well, so what? Right. This was a handgun that was used. Florida doesn't have what was the other one that they didn't have?
Oh, the universal background.
Yeah. Universal background. Check. All right. Well, he stole his mom's gun.
Right.
Right. So no background check was going to stop that.
Let me go to that. Usually in a situation where a gun is stolen from a parent, the parent is killed. Let's go to Newtown as well. OK, that didn't happen in Florida. Thank God that didn't happen in Florida. But it has in the past. And you want to go to the quote unquote gun-free zones. Let's talk about these, these gun-free zones that we're talking about as far as colleges are concerned, Cam. He didn't care one iota that it was a gun-free zone. And it was a gun-free zone in large measure because of Parkland. How's that working out for you?
Right. It's absolutely not. This wasn't even the first mass shooting at Florida State.
Correct.
You know, there was one a few years ago as well. So, again, I mean, you know, they say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Well, I think we now know it is absolutely insane to think that prohibiting lawful concealed carry on university and college campuses in Florida is going to stop or prevent attacks like this. It is insane to think that that's going to happen.
Proven time and time again. How much more proof do we need?
Exactly. Listen, Mark, I really appreciate you coming on the program, sir. I'm looking forward to seeing you in just a couple of days hanging out in Atlanta, Georgia.
I'll be seeing you Friday and Saturday at the NRA convention. Can't wait, brother.
I can't wait either, man. We'll talk to you soon. And thanks again for everything you do. Mark Walters from Armed American Radio. You can check him out every day. But what is the one day a week that you're not behind the microphone? Is there one?
Saturday. I try Saturday. To keep Saturday microphone free. Sometimes that doesn't work.
There you go. You got the Sunday Night Monster Cast. You got the Daily Defense. Armed American Radio. Check it out if you have not already, but I'm sure that you have. And Mark Walters, we'll see you on the ground in Atlanta.
You got it. Thanks, Cam.
My thanks to Mark for joining us on the program. And by the way, just a programming note. So if you are going to be in Atlanta for the NRA annual meeting, come by and see us. I'm going to be at booth 665 as part of the Voices of the Second Amendment there in Atlanta. We've got our own little media row set up. I will be there. I'm going to, you know, try to scooch away, grab some lunch there on site Friday and Saturday. I've got a lot of interviews right now. Maybe Friday afternoon, maybe Saturday morning will be the time that I'm able to get away from the booth and actually go wander the aisles for a little bit. But odds are, if you stop by, either I will be there, Tom Knighton from Bearing Arms will be there. And of course, you know, as part of that Voices of the Second Amendment, there are going to be a lot of other podcasters who are going to be there on site as well. So stop by and say hi to all of us. But just a programming note, you know, normally we do Cam and Company Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We take Friday off. Well, this week we're going to do things a little differently. We're going to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We're going to take off Thursday so I can drive down to Atlanta. And then we will have a special Friday show for you from the NRA annual meeting. I'm not sure who our guest will be because it just kind of depends on when I can actually stop doing interviews and start doing a show. But we will have a show for you on Friday and probably more interviews as well. Just as many as producer Jim can get uploaded over a Friday afternoon. We'll save the Saturday interviews for next week here on Cam and Company. But we're going to be talking with a lot of great folks from NRA, from Second Amendment Foundation. Pete Brownell from Brownells is going to be with us. And you're going to be some folks who, you know, Ryan Petty, I just confirmed that Ryan's going to be stopping by, spending some time with us on a Friday afternoon. And then there's some folks that, you know, I will talk to once I get on the ground in Atlanta. But we are going to be, you know, for those of you who missed the old days, the 3-hour Cam and Company, I had a couple of folks in Massachusetts say, boy, I missed the old show. Well, it's not going to be over one day, but we're going to do more than 3 hours of interviews. I can promise you that down there at the NRA annual meetings in Atlanta. Right now, though, let's turn our attention to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report. We'll start there. Not a true recidivist report because there is no previous criminal history. But again, it's one of those stories that just leaves me anyway. I hope you feel the same, just kind of scratching my head here. Well, don't scratch my head, scratch yours. Here's the headline. Probation given to suspect in July, gunplay death. Now, I don't like that phrase, gunplay, and I really don't like that phrase when we're talking about what happened here. This was not an accident. This was a negligent discharge. This was acting idiotic. This was violating the fundamental rules of gun safety, and somebody died as a result. As the Lubbock Avalanche Journal reports, 20-year-old Christopher Acevedo, he has been out on bond since last August. He appeared in a courtroom on Monday and pleaded guilty to a single count of manslaughter, a second-degree felony that typically carries a sentence of somewhere between 2 and 20 years in prison. Instead, he was put on probation for 10 years after admitting to causing the death of his friend while playing with a loaded gun. 16-year-old Rudy Jory Romo Ramirez was shot and killed last August. According to the Lubbock Avalanche Journal, a probable cause affidavit stated that witnesses at the scene told police investigators that Acevedo and Romo Ramirez, who were childhood friends, weren't arguing before the shooting. Instead, the two were laughing as they, quote, playfully pointed their loaded weapons at each other's heads and applied pressure on the trigger. Another witness told investigators that the two often played that way with loaded weapons. It should be noted, by the way, that Acevedo maintains he didn't know the gun was loaded, which would seem to be disputed by the eyewitness testimony. Investigators were told by several witnesses that they had been told by their friends to stop playing with loaded guns. In fact, according to the paper, on the night of the shooting, one of the witnesses said he pulled down Romo Ramirez's firearm to get him to stop pointing his gun at Acevedo. But he said Acevedo continued playing with his pistol and then again fired a round that struck his 16-year-old friend. He was arrested. I said this happened last August, happened last July. He was arrested on July the 5th, booked into the Lubbock County Detention Center, and then again released on bond in August. Prosecutor Laura Beth Martin told the court that Acevedo's conduct was reckless and dangerous, saying this was no accidental discharge of this firearm. Romo Ramirez's mother on Monday told Acevedo that her son's death had impacted her entire family, especially her son's siblings, saying to know that we will never see Rudy here on Earth again, that we won't get to see him graduate in May or have kids. It has robbed a big part of my life, she said. But she said, I know that we have to forgive. And I forgive you, Chris. She said, it is a command of the Lord that I forgive you. The family's forgiveness is one thing. But again, this was an entirely preventable death. This was maybe the result of two people acting idiotically, with one of them dying as a result. But I don't know about you. I happen to think that these are incidents like this. The individual should be held accountable for their actions. Again, this was a wanton disregard for basic gun safety, and somebody died as a result. So what kind of message does it send when this individual is placed on 10 years probation, basically told that the month or so they spent confined to a jail cell before they were able to post bond is all the time behind bars that they will do for their grossly negligent actions? The judge who sentenced Acevedo to 10 years probation, Philip Hayes, advised the 20-year-old to use his time on probation positively, saying, quote, take this opportunity to do something bright and to do something good in the world. Well, I hope he does. I hope he does. I just wish that that opportunity would have come after, I don't know, let's say the minimum 2 years in prison for his irresponsible, criminally negligent actions that destroyed a family and ended the life of his friend. All right, on to today's armed citizen story. From Tucson, Arizona, where police say a fatal shooting at a pawn shop was an act of self-defense. This happened Friday evening. 39-year-old Michael Alex Montano Mendoza was shot and killed at this pawn shop, apparently after assaulting an employee. According to authorities, Mendoza walked into the pawn shop on Friday evening. Then he and the 24-year-old employee stepped outside in the parking lot to look at merchandise. And according to authorities, that's when Mendoza assaulted the employee. It's unclear whether that was his intention all along, whether there was some dispute that escalated into physical violence. But anyway, the employee was armed, shot Mendoza. After suffering minor injuries in the attack, he was the one who called 911, told the dispatcher, hey, I just had to shoot somebody. Police said that they are not charging him, but the investigation does continue. They're presenting the case to the Pima County Attorney's Office for review. But again, at this point, all indications are that this was an act of self-defense on the part of the pawn shop employee. Finally, today, our good deed of the day in the right place. At the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. Three teenagers in Kentucky who were able to save the life of a man who drove into the Ohio River while suffering a medical emergency. And I mean, you know, this is a big deal. Louisville Metro Police Department said it was about 6:20 Monday evening when officers and emergency services responded to the Greenwood boat ramp. About a report of a car in the water. When they got there, they saw that vehicle in the Ohio River, but they also saw three teenagers who've been out on the site fishing who were already in the river. They had jumped into action to save that driver. Two of the teens dove into the water, swam over to the car, helped to get the driver out. And then while they were helping to get that driver extricated from the vehicle, the teens actually managed to secure a rope to the car, tie that rope to a nearby tree to keep the car from floating away. So, I mean, not only did they save the guy's life, perhaps, but they saved that property and prevented that vehicle from doing any damage downriver. Once first responders arrived on scene, they took over. They helped the driver get the medical attention that was warranted. The Louisville police says that the driver may have had a medical emergency, lost control of his car at the ramp, and then drove into the river. Thankfully, it wasn't, you know, off a bridge over the Ohio River. They say the driver was alert and conscious when he was taken to the hospital. Non-life-threatening injuries, it looks like. No other vehicles involved. And the Louisville Metro Police Department said the quick actions from these young men helped turn a potential tragic situation into a positive outcome. So again, in the right place, at the right time, willing able to do the right thing, just hoping to spend a nice, quiet, late spring. I guess it's still late spring. Evening. Out there on the water catching some fish, and instead they managed to snag a man who was in desperate need of their help. So there you go. A tip of the cap to those three teens. Hopefully we'll get to learn more about them in the days to come, but they definitely performed a good deed on Monday night. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of Bearing Arms Cam & Company. As always, I want to thank you for being a part of the program. And also, as always, I hope you check out BearingArms.com throughout the day. Keep you up to date on all the latest Second Amendment news and information from across the nation. If you like what you see, I'd also encourage you to become a VIP, VIP Gold, or VIP Platinum member. You'll get exclusive content. You'll get other benefits at every level of support. And you will be supporting the independent pro-Second Amendment journalism that we're doing at Bearing Arms. And we greatly appreciate that. All you have to do, in fact, if you want to save some money on your membership, use the promo code FIGHT when you sign up and get 60% off the cost of a VIP, VIP Gold, or VIP Platinum membership. All right, enjoy the rest of your 2A Tuesday. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Until then, be well, be safe. Yep, you got it. Be free.